over to this computer. Okay.
He's not coming out.
One more. Well, he'll come out before we're done tonight, dear.
Huh?
He'll come out before we're done. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and dealing with cat issues here. Tonight, we're going to probably finish up paper 56, Universal Unity. We're in section 10, paragraph 1, and that's on page 646 of the original book for section 10.1 and all the rest of them. So let's have you got your earplugs in, dear?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to start out?
I'll start. Okay.
No, I'm gonna let Gary start out because he's
Gary,
first in
okay.
line here.
All
I'll
right.
try to keep it in line here. Gary, would you take that first paragraph, please?
Let me get my screen. Okay, you ready, all?
Yep.
Yes.
Something happened to my screen too. Come on, things. All right. 10. Truth, beauty, and goodness. And you have me read it.
Yes.
Okay.
Liar. No, I'm joking. Oh, okay. Couldn't
As
resist.
the world settled in life and light, progress from the initial stage to the seventh epoch. They successively grasp for the realization of the reality of God, the sevenfold, ranging from the adaptation,
Adoration is
adoration,
adoration. Yes.
ranging from the adoration of the Creator Son to the worship of His Paradise Father. Throughout the continuing seventh stage of such a world's history, the ever-progressing mortals grow in the knowledge of God the Supreme, while they vaguely discern the reality of the overshadowing ministry of God the Ultimate.
Something really interesting about the paragraph is the fact they're talking about here in one point of a planet that's in the seventh stage. Okay. And they must be just talking about just the seventh stage of light and life for this planet because we know we all go into the seventh stage of spiritual being simultaneously when the Supreme comes into full fruition, right? So
Correct.
that's not happened. So they're talking about something that in this paragraph, it sounds like it's already happened, right? So if you take it from the beginning, when they're talking about the realization of God the sevenfold, we know God the sevenfold is the Creator Son's creative daughters, the Ancients of Days, the Supreme and the seven master spirits, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So first they talk about realization of God the sevenfold. And then something very important right in the middle of this paragraph we need to point out, and that is this: ranging from the adoration of the Creator Son to the worship of his paradise Father. Do y'all see that? It tell teaches us in the book that we should never worship Michael. Okay? And the reason being, the only being that should be worshiped is the Paradise Father. That goes always. But it's proper to adore the Creator Son and the Creative Mother Spirit. Okay? Big difference between adoration and worship. Okay? We can adore the Creator Son because he's our what? He's our Creator brother, right? He's not only our Creator, but he's also our brother in the sense that we are all children of God the Father. So that is why we should only worship God the Father. Makes sense? So
Yeah.
adoration is the right word for all other beings other than God the Father along the deity pathway. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. And then it talks about our ever-increasing knowledge of God the Supreme, because when we all seven super universes reach the seventh stage of light and life, what happens? The Supreme comes into full fruition. So the next step after that would be the what? The overshadowing ministry of God the Ultimate. And that has to do with the outer space levels. Okay. So that's what they're talking about in this thing. Now, remember throughout this section tonight, we're talking about truth, beauty, and goodness, the things that makes up the universe. All right. Let's see here. Diane, would you take the next one there?
Throughout the glorious age, the chief pursuit of the ever-advancing mortals is the quest for a better understanding and a fuller realization of the comprehensible elements of deity, truth, beauty, and goodness. This represents man's effort to discern God in mind, matter, and spirit. And as the mortal pursues this quest, he finds himself increasingly absorbed in the experiential study of philosophy, cosmology, and divinity.
Trying to teach us here.
You're muted. Yeah, thank you.
Is that the kitty right there, honey? Is that him?
That is him.
Okay.
He came out. Y'all excuse me for a second. Come on, sweetie.
Hi,
Come here.
baby.
Come on. Y'all excuse me for a second. We got a wild cat here that's not supposed to be in here. Come here.
Come on, baby.
Give me your squirt gun.
I squirt gun.
Yeah. Come on. I knew he was going to interrupt this tonight.
Okay, I
Okay.
spray him.
Come here. I got you.
You got him.
I got him. He was like.
He's scared now, which is good. There
It's
you go.
heavy too here. Would you put him out?
Hello, you beautiful guy.
Sorry. He's not supposed to be in this room. And
That wasn't easy.
yeah. Okay.
Darn.
You got the normal cats in here. So what they're talking about here is the things that we can eventually comprehend in the elements of deity is called truth, beauty, and goodness. And it talks about these three things throughout the entire Urantia book from the beginning to the very end. And it tells us here that as we pursue this quest for to understand deity and truth, beauty, and goodness, we're absorbed in the study of philosophy, cosmology, and divinity. And why is that? Because these three things, truth, beauty, and goodness, are the realization of deity reality all the way through. Okay, so that's why this is so important for us to understand. So to understand deity, we need to understand truth, beauty, and goodness. All right. And it's going to explain why here to us. Okay, Rodney, would you take the next?
Yes, philosophy is somewhat grasp, and divinity you comprehend and worship, social service, and personal spiritual experience. But the pursuit of beauty, cosmology, you all too often limit to the study of man's crude artistic endeavors. Beauty, art, is largely a matter of the unification of contrasts. Variety is essential to the concept of beauty. The supreme beauty, the light of finite art, is the drama of the unification of the vastness of the cosmic extremes of creator and creature. Man finding God and God finding man, the creature becoming perfect as the creator. That is the supernal achievement of the supremely beautiful, the attainment of the apex of cosmic art.
So what they're trying to teach us here is our art is pretty crude, but it's through this understanding of the basic differences in everything in the universe. Everything in the universe is part of our understanding of what beauty really is. So variety in itself is the start to understand beauty in itself. Now, let me give you a good example of that. not only in art and pictures and things like that, but think of all the different types of creatures and beings there are or there will be in the seven super universes, right? We're not all going to look the same. And the reason we're not going to look the same is this variety of creation of different creator suns are going to create beings that all look somewhat different in one way or another.
Should
Okay.
be interesting.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. So our understanding and our comprehension of divinity is tied up in this fact that we will have to learn not only to appreciate, but to accept all these variations in the creator son's creation of what they conceive of as beings.
Wow.
Okay, so with every new being we meet and learn and le learn to appreciate, we also increase our truth, beauty, and goodness. It's part of the cosmic art of things.
Roger,
Yeah.
is it true that Marantia bodies, when we first get our Marantia body, it will be identical to all other newborn Marantia bodies?
Yeah,
But
they're
as time
blanks.
goes by,
Yeah.
it changes a little.
Yeah, it changes, starts looking like you. And they say it'll look like you when you were about 30 years, somewhere around 30 years old. Okay?
Really?
But the blanks themselves are all exactly alike. Okay? And they plug us into them. And the personality of that person starts changing the appearance, probably automatically, of the blank into a being that looks like you. Okay? And they say that we will look around 30 years old when we are on the planet or at around 30 years old. And it makes sense that that would be the case because how else are your relatives and friends and things like that that you've known for years and years, how are they going to recognize you, right? Other than your personality traits. So that's probably why you start looking similar to the way you were on the planet. Of course, I might have hair then, because at 30, I had a full head of
Yeah,
hair,
you have beautiful hair.
right?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Gary.
We're supposed to worship the Father and adorn the
Adore,
Son.
adore the Son. That, yes.
And the Father created the. I have a hard time with the ultimate Son, the first Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. And they're
The
one.
infinite spirit, Gary.
The infinite spirit. Okay. I'm
Right.
used
Yeah.
to.
That's your deacon coming out, right?
Yeah,
It's
it's,
what? Yeah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trinity.
So
Okay.
when we're worshiping the Father, are we worshiping those three or are we worshiping the Father?
We're worshiping the Father. We're
Not the other two.
not the other two, because the other two, we adore them.
Okay, I had, you know what? I'm smarter than I really look sometimes because I've been doing that it's to me there's only one God, and that just
Yes.
makes logical sense.
Yes, it
And you
does.
worship God the Father, then everything else is kind of like a spinoff, and you respect, love, and everything else.
Yeah, you
And
respect, love, and adore everything else, including the infinite, the eternal Son, and the infinite Spirit, right? You can love them as much as you do the Father, but really only the Father should be worshiped.
it's like my father-in-law one time when I first got married. He says, "Why don't you call me dad or something like that?" It's because you're not my dad. No. That's just the way it is.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, you know, it was really funny when I was growing up and I got kind of adopted by the Bradshaws. I was 14, you know, and I called Mrs. Bradshaw mom, but I did not feel right calling Mr. Bradshaw dad. So I just called him Pop. So he was always Pop to me. You know, the rest of my life, I always called him Pop because he was, you know, we had a relation, son, you know, father relationship, but he was not really my father. He was to me, he was my Pop. He was the person I turned to if I need fatherly advice, right? But there's a difference, you know, because my own father, you know, after I was five, I didn't see him but a dozen times, probably my whole life. And I never had a relationship with him. So when the Bradshaws came along and I saw what the influence of a real father was, I needed a term to associate my relationship with him. So he became Pop, you know. And it's kind of funny because when I relate myself to all these animals I have and talk to them, I always say myself, I call myself what? Papa, you know, because I'm their father figure, right? And I got that probably, and it became natural because Pop was my Pop, you know, he was my father. So it's interesting how we go through things and figure out terms that make sense to you. You know, and it's interesting in this paragraph that it says, right here, this man finding God and God finding man, the creature becoming perfect as the creator, and that's our goal. That is the supernal achievement of the what? Supremely beautiful, right? And then attaining the attainment of the apex of cosmic art. So when you think about it, your relationship. Relationship of beauty and goodness is a reflection of the re relationship with you have to God the Father, right?
You know, these last 2 days, last two sessions has made the statement, our closing prayer, more and more meaningful because the last 2 days, excerpts from the book just seems to fit right into that
It
prayer.
does. And that's where the unity comes in, right? You start to see where the unity, you know, when they named this paper, you know, it seems like a generic name, Universal Unity. But as you go through it, you see how they break it down, and it's a very complex thing that the unity intertwines with the existence of our whole reality, doesn't it? You know, it's amazing. I feel sorry for people that never discover this book. I really do. You know, because there's so many lessons, so many great things you can learn from it that you need to learn, right, in life.
Yeah, but you got to remember something. Man is lazy.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I mean, this is not something that's easy. And there's got to be something driving you do this. Okay.
Yes.
And it is not for the majority of the people at this current time.
Well, it's not for the weak of heart, and it takes effort. So, but you know, it's kind of funny, Gary, is the fact that everything worthwhile in life takes effort, doesn't it? Everything. Relationship with your wife, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your friends, your relationship with God the Father, all these things take effort to maintain that relationship. And you can become lazy and not work on any of these things, and you become a pretty pathetic person, don't you? I mean, if you think about it. But if you put a little bit of effort in it, it can have rewards beyond human imagination. It really can. So, all right, let's go on to the next one. Letch, would you take the next one? I can't hear you, Letch.
Can you turn this down?
No. Is my hearing aids going on? Do you hear
No,
me?
I'm not.
No, that's fine.
I don't hear you, Letch.
It doesn't say his mic is off, does it? No, he can't get it to work. All right, I'll let you work on that and see if you can figure it out. I'll go ahead and read this one. Hence, materialism, atheism is the maximization of ugliness. The climax of the finite antithesis of the beautiful. It's opposite of beautiful. Highest beauty consists in the panorama of the unification of variations which have been born of pre-existent harmonious reality. Did y'all catch that?
No.
So what they're telling us here is the beautiful, highest beauty, and the panorama of the most beautiful art and everything else has been pre-born in a reality that exists before we did. Okay, so the beauty that is related as we become more and more aware and more enlightened has already been there. Okay, all throughout eternity. So basically, what they're saying is materialism, living a life of just material, not believing in God, is the maximum of ugliness and the opposite of beauty throughout your life. Okay. So if you want to be an ignorant, stupid materialist that does not believe in God, you're living a life of total ugliness and the opposite of a beautiful life.
Can I make
Okay.
a comment?
Yes.
Two comments.
Yeah.
One, this kind of sets the groundwork for being a guru sitting on top of the mountain, contemplating your navel and watching for the lint. Okay. And the other, it is that the hence the materialism, atheism, is the maximum of ugliness.
Yes.
And if you remember, we was discussing that the people who are seen to be running the world now, who are so materialistic and power hungry, and they're not nice people.
No, they're
Not
ugly
nice.
people, ugly people.
Yeah,
And
I mean, and
but
so this basically confirms what we were, what I just said.
yes, except for your first point. Okay, you can't sit on a mountain and become a monk and that sort of thing and be beautiful. Let me tell you why. Part of the beauty of the experience of life is doing what? Serving one another. And you don't serve one another by cutting yourself off from all other society. You see what I'm saying?
So you say they should be more like Mother Teresa.
No, Mother Teresa is not a good example.
Well, she served others.
Well, she
Now she
served,
has a bad trace.
yeah, she had some really bad traits, but that I wouldn't use her as an example of what's all good and holy and that sort of thing. But that's the idea is service to mankind, service your fellow man. All right. Let's just pop in. Did you get your mic working, Lutch?
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
Yeah.
I can hear you now.
Oh,
Yeah,
good.
I
Sorry
sure can.
about that. I don't know. I had to figure out what was going on.
That's fine. That's fine. Actually, I'm going to let you take this next one. All
Oh,
right.
great. Okay. The attainment of cosmologic levels of thought includes number one, curiosity, hunger for harmony and thirst for beauty, persistent attempts to discover new levels of harmonious cosmic relationships.
Hold it right there, Latch. Let's go through
Yes.
these one at a time
Yeah.
because they need to be brought out. What are they talking about? Harmony and thirst for beauty, right? Attempts to discover new levels of harmonious cosmic relationships. What would that be? When you begin your study of this revelation, you're trying to discover what? Beauty and goodness, aren't you? You're trying to discover God. So this is the curiosity it takes to take such a weighty responsibility to take such a large book and try to comprehend it to the point where it becomes part of you, right? Go on to the next one, Fletch.
Number two, aesthetic appreciation. Love of the beautiful and ever-advancing appreciation of the artistic touch of all creative manifestations on all levels of reality.
Hold it there again. So it's not just the appreciation of art, is it? It's the appreciation of all creative mechanisms on all levels of reality. That includes nature, animals, people, your appreciation and love and the beauty of each and everything throughout your entire life that you run into, right? It's an appreciation of beauty of life itself. Okay, go on, Fletch.
Ethic sensitivity. Through the realization of truth, the appreciation of beauty leads to the sense of the eternal fitness of those things which impinge upon the recognition of divine goodness and deity relations with all beings. And thus, even cosmology leads to the pursuit of divine reality values, to God consciousness.
The first source, does it not? Main cause of everything. All right, so your ethics have to be sensitive enough to find those ethic beauty in every single thing you learn and study, not only in this book, but in science, philosophy, everything you go through. There's values in it to help improve your God consciousness, because we know that nothing, absolutely nothing, is separate from God the Father, don't we? So becoming ethically sensitive to everything, you find these realizations of truth, beauty, and goodness in everything in your life, from your children, what you see outside every day, everything that you interact with becomes ethic sensitivity. And that's one of the reasons this book is so important to read and learn too, is because it explains these things to you, right?
Roger?
Yeah.
Jesus taught us to become consciously aware that we are sons of God.
Yes.
And I've found that through becoming consciously aware that I'm a son, it leads to being more conscious about the Father.
Uh-huh. And you know, it's kind of funny too, Rodney, we have to remind ourselves every day, don't we? Because when you get out and start running around and doing all these useless things that you do in life, you start to forget what your purpose is, don't you? It becomes rote memory after a while. You know, I do this and I do this. I got to run to the store. I got to, you know, somebody pulls out in front of you and you get mad because they're, you know, you think they're doing you some harm in some way and that sort of thing. All these things we forget because of the noise in life, that the blessings are right there in the noise, right? As we're going through it. And it's hard to keep in mind, hard to keep in the forefront of your mind, right? Okay. Gary,
could you just define what worship is?
Worship, yes. Worship, the only being we should worship is God the Father, and worship is the realization of the oneness with you and God the Father. That's what worship is. It's not singing, it's not running up and down through the church, you know, acting crazy. I've done all that, you know, in the past. You know, I was Pentecostal, and then I was Baptist, and I was Mormon for a while, and all these different things, and I've learned how to, you know,
Would you consider worship a continuous process?
Worship is a continuous process of the relationship with God the Father, and I would say worship more than anything else is giving in your own personality and listening for the will of God. more than anything
Actually, that
else.
really makes sense now.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because that relationship is the only relationship that's number one over everything else. You know, in our prayers of acceptance, I tried to bring that out, you know, when I was trying to put this together, that the will of God to become my will. And the difference between your will and the will of God is what? Giving in, okay? Not making your will overwrite what the will of God, what God wants for your life, really. And by allowing God's will to come through you every single day, there is no possible way you will not stand before God the Father. Why is that? Because the book teaches us that which comes from the Father does what? Returns to the Father. Right?
That's right. He's the grand recycler, bro.
He's the grand recycler. So if you let God's will come into your life, that will do what? It will guide you right back to God the Father. And that perfection God keeps talking, expecting from us is right there. That's where it comes from. It's not from our mind. It's not from our thoughts. It's not from our will. It's from the will of God. So if we set aside our will, the perfection of God's will relate through us to every act and being in our life. Make sense?
Well, that's why I think philosophy is so important. Philosophy is a form of questioning.
Yes.
All the time questioning everything. And in the process, you're creating a consciousness, a greater realization of everything.
That's right. That's right. And by doing that, what do? You allow the will of God to become what? Acceptable in your life. And it enlightens you daily, every single day. You know, it's really funny. I struggle just like everyone else does, you know, and I was talking to Diane in the kitchen tonight. You know, we're talking about, well, you know, how much longer we might have to live, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. But, you know, going through the breaking down of the body and the age process and all these other things that we have to deal with daily overwhelms our life sometimes, you know. It really does. It's when you feel bad all the time, it's hard to walk around and be positive and try to help people, isn't it? I mean, that's just, you just don't feel like it. But that is part of the aging process that puts us one step closer to going from this life to the next life, right? So we know it's coming sooner or later. We don't want to hurry it along any, but we know it's coming. But the struggle between when the body starts to fail and the mind starts to fail, and us getting to that transition point, it is very, very difficult. It's more difficult than a lot of the struggles we have coming up till that time. So after about 65, 70, you get to this point where you start thinking about the transition a lot more than you did when you were 50 or 60, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because you get closer and closer and closer. And the breaking down of the body makes it that much evident that it's going to happen sooner or later. You know, there's just no way around it. You can't avoid it. So if you get lucky, you'll die in a heart attack in your sleep. You won't, you know. that sort of thing. But sometimes we don't get lucky, and sometimes the suffering till the end is part of the lesson of life, right? It really is.
So, I'll give you I like to say something. Mentioned earlier that how beauty was in everything.
Yes.
Come to mind that so many engineers and scientists are atheists. And I think they're the dumbest people in the world, because all science is the study of how God did things.
It's a revelation of God, is it not?
Yes. And I'm thinking, how dumb and arrogant You are. And I've come to the conclusion that those people who think they're smart and think they're atheists because they're so much smarter than everybody else are just exercising an academic exercise on trying to be smarter than somebody else.
It's the epitome of stupidity, Gary.
That's
That's what it is.
exactly where I was going,
Yes.
is I am so smart, I'm a dummy.
Yeah. Yep.
And there is one other thing I wanted to say, that Les, you said philosophy was so important, and to most people it is not, because it's a study of, to them, nothing but ideas. But if you break the word down, philosophy, and I've taken a one or two courses, the philosophy is, if I remember correctly, logic is the study of, and philosophy, or philo, is the study of knowledge. The word breaks down in the study of knowledge,
Study of
which,
knowledge. Yeah.
yeah, that's, and I was trying to be, I'm not sure I should have even said that,
You
so.
know how you can determine whether you're a genius or not?
No.
I can tell you. You can determine if you're a genius is the day you realize how stupid you are.
Oh, hell, I did that in second grade.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
You are right. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, because no matter how much you learn, there's always more to learn, and there's always someone smarter than you are.
Yeah,
I
it
don't
was
care what you
smarter.
say. That's right. Gary, would you take the next one for me, please?
Yeah. The world's settled enlightened life are so fully concerned with the comprehension.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Hey.
You got them?
Yeah, they're going crazy here.
Okay, comprehension of truth, beauty, and goodness, because these quality values embrace the revelation of deity to the realms of time and space. The meaning of eternal truth make a combined appeal to the intellectual and spiritual natures of mortal man. Universal beauty embraces the harmonious relations or rhythms of the cosmic creation. This is more distinctly the intellectual appeal and leads towards unified and, well, I can't say that.
Synchronous,
Thank you.
synchronous.
Thank you. Synchronous comprehension of the material universe. Divine goodness represents the revelation of infinite values to the finite mind, therein to be perceived and evaluated,
Elevated.
elevated to the very threshold of the spiritual level of human comprehension.
Okay.
It's almost poetic. Poetic.
It is poetic. If you think about it, because what they're saying is, by the time the worlds get to light and life, we're smart enough to understand that the number one thing we need to comprehend is truth, beauty, and goodness, and how that relates to time and space and our relationship with God the Father. All right. And that's why eternal truths, that's why this book appeals to certain types of people, because they're trying to make that relationship with God the Father eternal and internal at the same time. Okay, so this makes an appeal to our intellectual and spiritual natures. Okay, and by putting those both together, we have this. They call it the rhythm of cosmic creation. Because we're part of that rhythm of cosmic creation, the fact that we try to intellectually and spiritually understand the meaning of life, then that automatically sends us on the pathway to find God. Make sense? Okay, and that's what they're talking about here. It's all about the comprehension of the universe and finding God's comprehension within the perceived spiritual value of our own human comprehension, right? That's why I keep stressing you got to read this book over and over again. Okay. Diane, would you take?
Somebody's not working. Something's not speaking. Somebody's muted.
I just got, yeah, I had a hard time getting out of that. Truth is the basis of science and philosophy, presenting the intellectual foundation of religion. Beauty sponsors art, music, and meaningful rhythms of all human experience. Goodness embraces the sense of ethics, morality, and religion. Experiential perfection, hunger.
Now, you know, we've talked about the different dimensions and how everything's on a different vibration, right? Remember those discussions we've had about that rhythm, all right? The meaningful rhythms of human experience. So what we're talking about here is truth is the basis of science philosophy, okay? Science and philosophy. So if you stick truth in there and make that your intellectual foundation for your religion, beauty and music and everything else, all the rhythms of human existence fit right in the way it's supposed to because it's truth. Okay? Then it goes on to tell us that goodness embraces a sense of ethics, morality, and religion, experiential perfection hunger. So if you have that hunger for perfection, you're on the right pathway to discover truth, beauty, and goodness in your own personal life. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Rodney, would you take the next one?
Yes. The existence of beauty implies the presence of appreciative creature mind, just as certainly as the fact of progressive evolution indicates the dominance of the supreme mind. Beauty is the intellectual recognition of the harmonious time-space synthesis of the far-flung diversification of phenomenal reality, all of which stems from pre-existence and eternal oneness.
Okay, so all this truth, beauty, and goodness is pre-existent, right? And we're trying to basically evolve ourselves in our creature mind. And that evolution comes because of the dominance in our life of the supreme mind, okay? And so beauty is a intellectual recognition in time and space between a phenomena that was pre-existence and always will be.
Okay. It's happiness.
It's happiness. That's right. That's right. Okay. Let's go on. Letch, would you take the next one?
Okay. Goodness is the mental recognition of the relative values of the diverse levels of divine perfection. The recognition of goodness implies a mind of moral status, a personal mind with ability to discriminate between good and evil. But the possession of goodness, greatness, is a measure of real divinity attainment.
Okay, so this understanding of goodness not only makes us attain divinity, but it sets us up for our moral values, doesn't it? That's why we all have moral values, because of this recognition of levels of divine perfection in our life itself. Okay? So the goodness of life comes from whom? God the Father also. Okay? It all comes back to the same circle of life, always coming back to God and divinity.
Okay? And our choices.
And our choices every day, over and over and over again. Gary, would you take the next one?
The recognition of true relations implies a mind competent to discriminate between truth and error. The bestowal spirit of truth, which invests the human mind of Urantia, is unerringly responsive to truth, the living spirit relationship of all things and all beings as they are coordinated in the eternal ascent Godward.
So the spirit of truth, because it's poured out on all human intellect, automatically has a check mechanism to allow us to understand competent mind and truth and error. Okay, so the spirit of truth allows us to discern good things or false things, and that's part of its job. Okay, and in doing that, it keeps all the beings that are God conscious where on the way to ascent Godward. Okay,
isn't so, that what Jesus are? Jesus released when he went to heaven.
Yes, the spirit of truth. So,
no, prior to that, they really were lost. Huh?
Right.
I was going to say, could you imagine what it was like before?
We did have the Holy Spirit that was here before,
correct?
But it wasn't the teacher as the spirit of truth was. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can think of the Holy Spirit as part of the seven adjutant mind spirits, really.
Correct.
Because it is in each and every one of us as beings and animals, you know, without the worship and wisdom for animals.
Yeah.
But it is still there teaching us, but it's not teaching us in the same way that the spirit of truth, because like Jesus said, the spirit of truth was the new teacher. In other words, the spirit of truth was Jesus incarnate in our lives. So we would always be taught. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. This is an interesting paragraph too. Who's next? I think you are, dear.
Every impulse of every electron, thought, or spirit is an acting unit in the whole universe. Only sin is isolated, and evil gravity resisting on the mental and spiritual levels. The universe is a whole. No thing or being exists or lives in isolation. Self-realization is potentially evil if it is antisocial. It is literally true. No man lives by himself. Cosmic socialization constitutes the highest form of personality unification. Said Jesus, "He who would be greatest among you, let him become server of all."
Gary, this is why you don't want to go up to a mountain and live by yourself and become a monk, right?
You know what? Brilliant. I had a flash of brilliancy without lightning.
Here you go.
I was thinking of Trump's speech this past week.
Oh, that's great.
And what all he's done. And I don't want to, I don't think I maybe I shouldn't say that because it goes into politics. So I'll shut up.
No, don't shut up. No. I don't like to discuss politics on this either, but the amazing things that's happened in the last 2 months is just mind boggling.
It is.
And
it
to is. Me, I'll be on, then I'll finish. Then to me, what he has done for America, I'm speaking for me.
Yes.
Was tremendous service. And that, I mean, he, to me, Sylvester Stallone, he says he's our current George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to agree with that. So it just brought to mind his speech, what he's done, and how great he is.
Well, it shows you how if you stay focused on serving people, if you stay focused on serving people in your life, the amount of things that you can benefit every single being and person that you relate to or come in contact to, how you can improve your life. And that's what it's talking about here. Every electron, thought, spirit, and all this stuff. It's also why that when people become mentally isolated, that becomes antisocial, and that's what turns into evil and sin, doesn't it? So when you cut yourself off from other people and you become isolated, you're not living within the plan of God to be service to one another, right? So the service is necessary for us to stay on our ascension plan. That's why Jesus said here, he who would be the greatest among you, let him be server of all.
That
And
is
that's
a sentence that tricked my mind.
yes, that's what it's all about, right? And the reason you think Trump's doing such a good job is why? Because he's trying to be server of all, right?
He
You don't
speaks the truth.
He
He
speaks the
does.
truth, and that not only that, I really feel that he had a conversion when he came close to death on that last assassination attempt. I truly believe that he had a conversion that will affect him for the rest of his life,
I
right?
do too.
I really do. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
He's
So,
mentioned, yeah.
yep. Okay, let's go on to the next one. What are we going to get through this tonight? I don't know if we will or not. We
You
might.
got 8 minutes.
Okay, that's 1 minute per slide. That's
I don't think so.
no, I don't think we're gonna make it, are we? Okay, let's go on, and we'll just stop when we run out of time, and then we'll have a very short meeting on Tuesday. Although I'm very good at filling in the time. Okay, let's go on. Rodney, would you take the next one?
Yes, even truth, beauty, and goodness, man's intellectual approach to the universe of mind, matter, and spirit must be combined into one unified concept of a divine and supreme ideal. As mortal personality unifies the human experience with matter, mind, and spirit, so does this divine and supreme ideal become power unified in supremacy and then personalized as a God of fatherly love.
Okay, I want to talk about this unified concept of a divine and supreme ideal. What is an ideal? It's not an idea, right?
It's the ultimate.
It's the
Yeah,
ultimate. That's
best
right.
that you can think of.
The best you can think of, right? And so all this mind, matter, and spirit has to be combined in a divine and supreme ideal. In other words, a divinity and a supremacy of action that's above all other concepts you've ever had. Okay? That's that ideal. All right? So, this ideal and the experience of matter, mind, and spirit becomes unified in God the Supreme. That's what the supremacy is, the experience of us interacting with the personalization of God of fatherly love in our lives. Okay? All right. Let's see here. Who just read?
I
You
did.
did? You did. Letch, would you take the next one?
Okay. All insight into the relations of the parts to any given whole requires an understanding grasp of the relation of all parts to that whole. And in the universe, this means the relation of created parts to the creative whole. Deity thus becomes the transcendental, even the infinite, goal of universal and eternal attainment.
Okay, so what are they talking about here? They're talking about all the creative parts of the universe have to come together in one gigantic universal eternal attainment. And what is that within? God the Father, right? We all live, dream, have our being within God the Father.
This book helps us identify the parts.
The part, that's right. All right, I want y'all to bear with me here. Let's see how we do. We only have like five paragraphs, and I hate to just stop in the middle of this. So we may extend out and just finish this out tonight if it's all right with y'all.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next one. Who's up to read next? I believe it's Gary again.
Okay, universe beauty is the recognition of the reflection of the Isle of Paradise in the material creation, while eternal truth is a special ministry of the Paradise Sons, who not only bestow themselves upon the mortal races, but even pour out their spirit of truth upon all people. Divine goodness is more fully shown forth in the loving ministry of the manifold personalities of the Infinite Spirit. But love, the sum total of these three qualities, is man's perception of God as his Spirit Father.
Okay, so we have the influence of the Spirit of Truth through the Paradise Sons. We also have the ministry of the Infinite Spirit through all the angelic personnel. And then we have the Holy Spirit, which is the influence of the local universe, Mother Spirits, right? But all these things come together with what? The thought adjuster that we have within us. And all these things together is a reflection of the material creation coming from the Isle of Paradise down through the bestowal Paradise Sons and their own creation. So in essence, it allows us to understand how this life is really a reflection of paradise itself. Okay. Diane.
Physical matter is the time-space shadow of the paradise energy shining of the absolute deities. Truth's meanings are the mortal intellect repercussions of the eternal word of deity. The time-space comprehension of supreme concepts. The goodness values of divinity are the merciful ministries of the spirit personalities of the universal, the eternal, and the infinite to the time-space finite creatures of the evolutionary spheres.
Okay, so this kind of brings it all together in time and space, right? So time and space is the shadow of the real world of paradise and the shining of the deities, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, right? But the repercussions of truth are those things in our life that makes us comprehend deity in time and space. And those are the supreme concepts that allow us to make a connection between our life and the life of paradise, right? Okay. All right. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. Rodney, let's take the next one.
These meaningful reality values of divinity are blended in the Father's relation with each personal creature as divine love. They are coordinated in the Son and His sons as divine mercy. They manifest their qualities through the Spirit and His Spirit children as divine ministry. The portrayal of loving mercy to the children of time. These three divinities are primarily manifested by the Supreme Being as power personality synthesis. They are variously shown forth by God the Sevenfold in seven differing associations of divine meanings and values on seven ascending levels.
So this whole process has been set up right? So that we can understand the relationship of God the Father and all his creatures, all the way down, all the way down through God the Sevenfold. With each experience as we climb up, we become more and more understanding of God's eternal plan through the Supreme. All right. Lech, would you take the last one there?
Okay. To finite man, truth, beauty, and goodness embrace the full revelation of divinity reality. As this love comprehension of deity finds spiritual expression in the lives of God-knowing mortals, there are yielded the fruits of divinity, intellectual peace, social progress, moral satisfaction, spiritual joy, and cosmic wisdom. The advanced mortals on a world in the seventh stage of light and life have learned that love is the greatest thing in the universe, and they know that God is love.
So apparently we're required to become wise, aren't we? Right?
Yeah.
And when we do become wise, we realize that God is love. All right. Love is the desire to do good to others, any way you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the whole essence of everything. And that's the last paragraph in this section. And I want to read through this. We didn't go too far over. Presented by a mighty messenger visiting on Urantia by request of the Nebadon Revelatory Corps and in collaboration with a certain Melchizedek, the vicegerent planetary prince of Urantia. We know that's Macavincia. Melchizedek, right? This paper on universal unity is the 25th in a series of presentations by various authors, having been sponsored as a group by a commission of Nebadon personalities numbering 12 and acting under the direction of Mantucha Melchizedek. We indicted these narratives and put them into the English language by a technique authorized by our superiors and the year 1934 of Urantia time. And this is the end of the second section of the Urantia book. And it's trying to tell us where these revelations came from. Very, very important, right? Okay, so if you have a
almost
question.
Almost 100 years ago.
Almost 100 years ago now, really?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Kind of impressive.
But yeah.
It's just getting started.
Yeah. Now let's switch our share and to our prayer of acceptance. All right. And who wants to read our prayer of acceptance tonight?
I'll do it.
Okay, Gary, go for it.
Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By this same faith, I become a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. The will of God to become my will. I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
Well, those are powerful words, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really is. Well, y'all, still with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we start Tuesday?
Tuesday, we're starting the life of Christ in paper 122. Okay. I've already done 120 and 121. I did 121 last year when I was going to start the life of Christ and couldn't get enough people to come. And so we've already done 121 and 122. I've done 122 last year in four lessons, and that's out there on YouTube and Vimeo. So if y'all, I sent it out to a lot of people. I also posted it out on Facebook. So we're going to start on 122 next week. I believe it's 122, and that's the birth of Jesus. Okay, so we're going to start there on Tuesday and do Tuesday and Thursdays and go all the way to the end of the book on the life of Christ. Unless y'all have some other requests, we do something else. Okay.
No,
any
this is the
yeah.
part I understand more. This
yes.
is where I become a genius.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty easy reading, and I will not be commenting as much. I may have a few comments as how it relates back to the book that's not in the New Testament and that sort of thing. I've studied the New Testament quite a bit. So what we're going to try to do is go through the Urantia version of the life of Christ. And it's all in succession because the story is in succession in the Urantia book, right? So hopefully we'll have a good time. We'll start that on Tuesday. Everybody good with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So be it. So it will be. All right. Let's.
Thank you, Roger.
Oh, you're
Thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Let me find I can.
Thank you all.
Thank you guys for coming. I
nice
really appreciate
you again,
it.
Lutch.
Okay. Let me stop that and stop the recording. Okay.